Hallelujah. Easter. 2 weeks from today is Easter. And we have this Sunday, we have next Sunday, which is Palm Sunday, and then we have Resurrection Sunday. And I am going to be ministering all three of those services starting this morning about the cross. Sometimes we get a ways away from the cross, don't we? You know, with life and with our service to God and in our worship, sometimes we get a long way away from the cross. And this morning, I want to minister one message, and then next week another message about the cross and about the blood, and then finally on Resurrection Sunday about the finished work of the cross, which is found in the resurrection from the grave. And we're gonna talk about that. And this morning, I want to talk to you about being redeemed. Are you redeemed this morning? I'm redeemed this morning, and I am thankful that I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And sometimes I wonder if we fully think about that and understand what that means. Father, we thank you, Lord, that by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed. We have been set free. We have been made new, Lord. We've been released to new life. This morning, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit and by your word, you would bring the meaning of that into our lives in a way that will be relevant and real and would transform us, Lord, even yet again, Lord, more into your image and more like you, that we might live redeemed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. They were about to see their greatest desire fulfilled. They had lived for, some of them had lived for nearly 80 years. Two of them in particular had lived for nearly 80 years waiting for this moment. Others had lived for many years. The younger generation, most of them had lived, the younger men particularly, had lived about 20 years. They were standing on the precipice. They were standing on the edge of walking over and seeing their greatest dream fulfilled. They were about to step into a new life. They were about to step into a new people, being a new nation. They were about to step over a line, and across that line, they would never, ever be the same again. They were standing on the moment of it. And just before they were going across, their leader gathered them together. And he said, I want to tell you a few things that you need to remember. How many of you know there's some things in life you need to remember? That as you go through life, as you walk through life, particularly as you cross over new thresholds, there's some things that you need to remember. And that's where they were. And their leader, Moses, stepped back and said to them, I want to tell you a few things. And that's what the whole book of Deuteronomy is in your Bible. That whole book is Moses saying to them, you're about to step across the line. Life will never be the same again. And as you do, I want you to remember some things. And one of those things that they needed to remember is found in our text this morning that I want to talk with you about just for a few moments this morning. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 through 9. It's coming up on the screen. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them and let's read it together. And then I want to talk with you just for a few moments this morning. Notice what it says. Moses is reminding the people now, you got to remember this. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were numerous, more numerous than other people. For you were the fewest of all peoples. Let's pause there for a second. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying you didn't deserve this. There's nothing in of yourself. It wasn't because you were a great nation that God set his love and affection on you. But watch this. But it was because the Lord loved you. It was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of King Pharaoh of Egypt. Now, therefore, that the Lord your God is your God, he is faithful, the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and those who keep his commandments. This morning, I submit to you that this passage and this story is kind of a prototype of what it means to be redeemed. That Moses said to the people, look, I know you're fixing to step over a line. You're fixing to become a new people. You're fixing to go into, and your promise is about to be fulfilled. But you need to remember this one thing. You need to remember that you were redeemed. You need to remember that you were purchased. You need to remember that your God loved you, that He cared about you. He didn't look down and see that you were a great nation. He didn't look down and see that you were a mighty nation. He didn't look down and see that you were a deserving nation. He looked down and saw a nation that He loved. And because He loved, He sent His mighty hand. And by His mighty hand, He redeemed you. And you remember the story there, how He reached down into Egypt and He shook mighty Pharaoh and He shook the children of Israel loose. And when they got to the Red Sea, He parted the Red Sea there. You know what He was doing? He was redeeming them, not because they deserved it, but because He loved them. And I got news for you this morning. If you have named the name of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if at an altar or in a car seat or in a closet somewhere, you've said, Jesus, I know I don't deserve it. I know I'm not a great person, but I ask you to take me and forgive me of my sins. I want you to know that God has set His love on you and He has redeemed you this morning. You are redeemed. You are redeemed this morning. Turn to somebody and say, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
Amen. I'm redeemed this morning. That's what the cross speaks to us. I'm redeemed. I think this morning that I think it would do good for us, though, to understand it and know a little more of what that means. And that's what I want to talk with you about just for just a few moments this morning. What does it mean to say we are redeemed? There are three aspects to being redeemed, and I just want to kind of talk with you about them and illustrate them a little bit for you this morning. And as I do, I think it'll give some more depth, some more meaning to this, because here's what I do know. It's important we stay close to redemption. You understand what I mean? It's important that we stay close to the cross and we stay close to redemption. In other words, it's important, just as it was important for the nation of Israel to remember as they were starting this new life, for them to remember that they were redeemed by the mighty hand of God because He loved them, I think it is equally important that every single person that is here this morning that has been saved by Jesus Christ, I think it's important we stay close to redemption, my friend. We stay close to that powerful hand of God because God, I believe, God keeps redeeming us. He keeps rescuing us. He keeps bringing us out. And this morning, I want to talk with you a little bit about what it means to be redeemed. The word redeemed is actually an economic word. It's a word that goes to the economy. It's a word that deals with money or the exchange of something of value for something else. And there are three compartments. There are three things. When Jesus redeemed you, Joy, He did three things in your life. I want to talk about them this morning for a few moments. The first thing that He did, the first word that is associated with redemption or being redeemed, if you're writing notes, just write down these three words, if you will. The first word that is associated with being redeemed is the word rescued. It's a marketplace word. It has to do with the marketplace. Redeemed means to go into the marketplace and to rescue out or to take out. It has to do with the slave market. In the early time, this word redeemed was associated with the slave market. In other words, there were those in the slave market. They were on the auction block. They had been taken in and set up and put on the auction block, and bids were being made for them. And one man said, I'll give $1. Another man said, I'll give $2. And somebody else says, oh, I think they're worth $5. And somebody else would say, I'll give them $10. And whoever won the bid, they would go and they would take the slave off of the auction block, and he could no longer be redeemed by anyone else. But I want you to know this morning that when I was placed on the auction block because of my sin, that sin said, I got a hold on him. Sin said, I own him. Sin said, he belongs to me, that I've purchased him. But way back in the crowd somewhere, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He stepped up and said, oh no, I've paid my blood for him. He is redeemed. He is redeemed. Jesus walks through the crowd and He takes me, watch this now, He takes me off this auction block. Watch me now, because sin can't bid for my life anymore, and oppression can't bid for my life anymore, and depression can't bid for my life anymore, and so suicide can't bid for my life anymore. I've been rescued from the auction block. I've been rescued by Him, my friend. I can look in your faces this morning and I can see, man, stuff has been happening around here for the last several months. And there's some of you, I can look in your face. Mike, I can look in your face. You've been rescued. I don't know how many of you, Mike is a different person over the last few weeks. God has rescued him. He went into the auction place and he took him off of that auction block and said, Mike, you don't belong here anymore. I've rescued you. I'm so glad this morning that he took me not just off the auction block, but he took me out of the slave market. He rescued me and took me out of the slave market. Reminds me of a scene. How many of you watched the Narnia movies? I love the Narnia movies. There's a scene in the last Narnia movie, the third one. What's the name of it? Somebody help me. The third one. The Voyage something. Voyage of the Dawn Treader. There you go. Now you know something, some of you, that you didn't know before. But there's a scene in it that several of the individuals that were part of this voyage had gone into a new island and they were captured by slave traders. And those slave traders had taken them into a market and they were bidding, and some of them were getting a high price and some of them were just getting sneered at. Nobody really wanted them. But in the midst of the bidding, their friends from the ship came in and threw off their disguises and rescued them out of that slave market because they could not be sold as slaves anymore. I have news for you this morning. That's what Jesus did for you and for me. He went into the slave market and he rescued us out of it. And I will never, ever, ever be placed on the auction block of slavery again because Jesus was placed on the cross in my place. I'm redeemed. I'm rescued. I'm redeemed this morning. That's what this verse says. Watch this. For he rescued us. Don't you love it? He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and had brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have what? Redemption and forgiveness of sin. I want you to know this morning that if you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you do not have to live under the dominion of sin any longer. Sin has no place in your life. It has no value in your life. It has no chain on you anymore because you've been rescued out of that, my friend. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I've been redeemed. Amen. I've been rescued this morning, rescued from the dominion of darkness. You see, as long as we were on the slave block, sin owned us. Some of you know what that's like. You can remember what that's like. You remember being under the dominion of darkness, right? Some of you understand, Brent works with guys that are under the dominion of darkness and God's gradually delivering them. But some of you know, we prayed for some people this morning who were praying for loved ones that are under the dominion of darkness. I'm so glad this morning, Granny Brock, that when Jesus rescued me, that sin has no more dominion. It has no more hold on me. Now that does not mean that he doesn't try to creep back in and say, don't you remember when I owned you? Don't you remember what you did? Don't you remember how bad you were? Don't you remember how bad it was? Don't you remember the kind of person that you were? And in that moment, I turned to him and said, oh yes, but don't you remember when my Savior came into the slave market and he rescued me out of it? And now I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Thank God I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. It is too. Rescue us. That's one of the things that Christ did. When he redeemed us, Laura, he rescued us out of the slave market. So that's, listen to me this morning. Let me just break it down and make it plain to you. If you're dabbling around in the slave market, you don't belong there. Are you hearing me this morning? Why go back to the slave market when you've been delivered from there? Why? Listen to me. If you've been delivered from pornography, why go back and flip through the slave market, my friend? Hello? If you've been delivered from alcohol, why go back and open up the bondage again, my friend? If you've been delivered from relationships, that illicit relationship, why go back and dabble in them again? I have no reason to be in the slave market. I've been redeemed, my friend. Redeemed. He rescued me out of it. See, I don't... That's why it feels strange. You know, sin should feel strange to you. Amen. Are you hearing me this morning? This is not in my notes. This is just X for somebody. Listen, sin feels, when you've been redeemed, it feels strange to go back into the slave market. It seems strange to get back close to the slave market again. Why? Because you've been redeemed. It seems odd. And I want to tell you something. Hello. Say, I love you, Pastor. Listen to me this morning. If sin doesn't still feel strange to you, are you hearing what I'm telling you? If sin doesn't still feel strange to you, you remember what it's like to be redeemed. You remember what it's like to be free from all of that mess and all of that bondage and all of that stuff. But I want to tell you something. If sin doesn't still feel strange to you, my friend, you've been living a little too close to the slave market. You've been living a little too close to the person that you used to be. The song this morning said, I'm not who I used to be. I've been redeemed. I've been rescued out of that. The second word that comes to mind when we think, the first word is rescued from Colossians. It says he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Brought us into the kingdom of his son. The second word is the word associated with redeemed is the word renewed. Renewed. 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if any is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, but the new has come. Are you hearing me this morning? You see, it's not enough. It's not enough to understand that we've been redeemed. It's not enough to know that we've been rescued out of the slave market. You've got to know that you're no longer a slave. All right, you hear what? See, I am not a freed slave living in a free world. I'm not a slave anymore. I'm not. You understand what I'm saying? It's not enough to just keep looking back and remembering what I used to. I'm not that man anymore. I'm not who I used to be anymore. God has made me new. Why? Because now I am where? What does it say? If anyone is where? In Christ. See, when I was a slave, I was in sin. I was in the market. I was a slave, but now he's made me new. I am, Brent, no longer am I in sin or in the market. Now I am in Christ, and that means that he's made me a new creature, a new being. I am not the person that I used to be. Now I am free. I am free. Thank God I am free. He didn't just release me. I'm sorry, he didn't just rescue me. He renewed me. He gave me back my dreams. He gave me back my passion. He gave me back my talents and my gifts. He gave me back a love for him. He gave me back a pure heart. He made me new. I am renewed. Behold, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. See, what happens when you are rescued out of the marketplace of sin, what happens is he makes you new. He makes you a new person. You are, in fact, Paul put it this way in one of his letters. He said this. He said, just as when you were slaves to sin, you were dead to Christ. Now that you are a slave of Christ, you're dead to sin. Right? What does he say? He said, you're a new person. You don't think the way you used to think. You don't act the way you used to act. You don't live the way you used to live. I was talking to somebody Wednesday night, and they said to me, I wish I could remember who it was. Somebody said, Pastor, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, they said, my mom has said to me, you're different. Something's different about you. And I remember the individual said to me, well, it's because I've started back to church. And I'm not sure who it was, but I got news for you. It wasn't because you started back to church. It's because you're a new person now. You've got a different look on your face because you've got a different heart on the inside. You've got a different look in your eye because you've got a new spirit on the inside. God's made you new. You're not who you used to be. Now you are new in him. I'm concerned that when we get too far away from redemption, we forget that God didn't just rescue us from all that stuff, but he made me new. He made me a new person, a new individual.
I believe when a person is redeemed by God, I believe he gives you new desires. He gives you new passions. He gives you new hopes. He puts something new inside of you. He puts his spirit inside of you. And so that you are made new again. You are not the person that you used to be. Can I tell you something? Stop living like it. Stop living like the old man when you've been made a new man. What business does the new man have in the old country? What business does the new man have doing the old things? What business does the new man have being attracted to the old things? I don't want to go back. I don't want to be old. I want to be new in him, and he has made me new, he says. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Pastor, are you saying that he can make a new heart? I'm telling you, he can make a new heart. Pastor, you saying he can make a new relationship? I'm telling you, he can make a new relationship. You saying, Pastor, he can take an old washed up, dried up, pruned up life and he can make it fresh and new again? That's exactly what I'm telling you this morning. He takes the old and makes it new. He takes the dead and breathes life into it. That's what we will celebrate in 2 weeks. I've been made new. I've been made new. I've been made new in him. Behold, old things have passed away and all things have become new. When God rescues us or redeems us, not only does he rescue us, but he makes us new. The nation of Israel was a beat down, beat up nation. They had been in slavery for over 400 years. They didn't even know how to live as a new creation. They didn't even know how to live as a new person. But what they discovered is because they were in God, they discovered that everywhere they put their foot, they were blessed. They discovered that even though they couldn't fight, God went out before them and fought for them. They discovered that when they did have to fight, that 32 men could beat 1,000 men. Why? Because they were a new person. And don't you know, Israel must have thought, what in the world is this about? The old man would have been beat up in front of this enemy. The problem was, they weren't the old man anymore. They were a new man. I've got news for you this morning. The same thing is true for you and I as Christian. If you've been redeemed, if you've been brought into Christ and been made new, can I tell you, stay in Christ, my friend, and you'll find that where you put your foot, it'll be blessed. And the enemies that used to buffet you, if you'll stay in Christ, they'll run from him, my friend. A new creation. That's what's happened to you and I. I'm not the old person. I don't fight like I used to fight. Right? What do you mean, Pastor? I used to fight with my temper. When I was 16 years old, I remember taking, and my dad sitting me down, one of the best lessons I was ever taught. When I was 16 years old, my brothers and I don't know about y'all, but when we were growing up, there was no such thing as time out. Amen. Time out came about 40 years too late for me. And I actually was 15. Now, you might not believe it. I was 15 years old last time I got my whipping. And the reason for that was my brother and I, who was about a year younger than me, we were both big boys. And we had gotten in a really bad fight. And he took us to the side and said, okay, enough's enough. You're old enough to hurt each other now. You're old enough to hurt each other now. And I used to fight, Virginia, I used to fight with my temper. And he looked at me and he said, Glenn, that temper is going to cost you in life. You see, I used to fight with my temper. You see, I don't fight with my temper anymore. In fact, I don't even fight standing up anymore. I fight on my knees now. I get down on my knees and I fight on my knees now. Why? Because the one that I'm in, he stands tall enough for both of us. The one that I'm in, he stands big enough. I don't have to stand because he's standing, my friend. I'm made new in him. He not only rescued me, he made me new. Not only that, here's the third word, the third part of this. Not only does he rescue you, not only does he make you new, but watch this. The third word that is associated with redemption is released. Oh, I love the fact that he didn't just rescue me and just make me new. He also released me unto, watch this, new life. The word here says, in fact, let me back up. There's this verse that's coming on the screen. Let me read a couple more verses and set it up for you. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4. For we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, watch this, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You understand, don't you, that Israel had no hope. They had no future. They had no promise. But God gave them a new life and released them into a new life. You and I this morning, we were destined for doom. We were destined to be bought, sold, and destroyed in the slave market. But now because we are in Christ, we have been destined and released to a new life. Those chains don't have a bondage anymore. Those chains don't have a hold anymore. I've been released to a new life. Can I tell you something this morning? If you've been released to new life, live like it, my friend. Live like you are redeemed. Live like you were redeemed. You see, you've been released to something new. Some of you may be here this morning, and Satan may be telling you that you're just reminding you of what all you used to be and what all you used to do and how much bondage you used to be in. And can I tell you something this morning? God wants you to know that you've been rescued, you've been renewed, and he has released you to a new life. Listen, when Jesus gives you his life, you've been released to something new. It says to a new life in him. You've been released. See, in the slave market, they would go in and they would purchase that slave and bring that slave out, somebody that was going to redeem a slave. They would take a slave and redeem him out. They would clean him up, give him a fresh new set of clothes. They would teach him some skills and teach him how to be a new person, a new man. And then they would take him out and release him. You understand, don't you, this morning? That's what Christ has done for you. He's rescued you from sin. He's put new life in you, and now you are released to live a new life in him. A new life in him. It's just that sometimes I think we get too far away from redemption. Jesus did all of that for me. Not because I was a great person. Not because I was a mighty man. But because he set his love on me. Can I tell you how to live victoriously? Live close to redemption. There was a man who had been hired on some backcountry roads. He had been hired to paint yellow lines. And the first day, unbelievably, the first day he painted 10 miles of yellow lines. Second day, his production dropped about in half. He didn't paint but 5 miles of yellow lines. Third day, it dropped in half again, and he didn't paint but about 2 miles of yellow lines. Last day, he didn't paint but 1 mile of yellow lines. And the owner of the company that hired him said to him, said, he called him in. He said, I was astounded at the 10 miles. Nobody's ever done 10 miles before. He said, now, but you're not doing but 1 mile. He said, what has happened to your production? What has happened there? And he said, well, sir, you don't understand. He said, the further I paint, the further I get away from the bucket. Can I tell you something this morning? Live close to redemption. Live close to redemption, my friend. No matter how far down the road of life you paint, my friend, you need to live close to redemption, because at redemption, you can remember that you were rescued. At redemption, you can remember that you were renewed. At redemption, you can remember that you were released unto something new. And there are times, my friend, when I need to get up every morning. I don't know about you, but I go through seasons and I need to be remembered. Glenn, God rescued you out of sin. And there are days when don't you wake up some days and you just need to know that God's made you a new person, a new creature. And then there are days when I need to know you've released me to something new. How do you do that? You live close to redemption. I've been redeemed. Not because I deserved it, but because he loved me. Amen? Because he loved me and he set his love on me. This morning, if you are here, I'm going to speak to you for a moment. If you are here this morning and you're not sure you're redeemed, that what I've spoken about, what I've preached about, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I can identify with that. I still feel like I'm on the auction block. There may be some here this morning. I don't know everybody that's here. There's a lot of new faces this morning. I want you to know this morning, you can leave here a new person. You can leave here a new creature. If you're in bondage this morning, you don't have to live in that bondage. If something's got a grip or a hold on your life, you don't have to live in that grip and that hold. And in just a minute, I'm gonna give you an opportunity. I'm going to give you an opportunity to be redeemed. You say, Pastor, how do you do that? The Bible tells us that we simply place our trust in what Jesus has already done for us on the cross. He died. See, I was on the auction block and I was supposed to die. He took my place. And in order to live free, what I have to do is just trust that, Lord, you took my place. I thank you that you went to the cross for me. I deserve the cross, but you took it for me. And to ask him to forgive you of your sins. The Bible says if you say that with your mouth and you believe it with your heart, you are redeemed this morning. And in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be redeemed. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to that here in just a moment. Before I do, I want to ask you this. Think about your life for a moment. If you're here this morning and you're not sure you're redeemed, I want you to think about your life. What God offers you this morning is an opportunity to come out of the slave market of sin, to be made into a new person, and to live a new life in him. If that's the offer that he makes you, why would you want to live there when you could live here? Why would he do that for me, Pastor? Not because you're a great person, but simply because he loves you and he wants you to live new and he wants you to live free. Amen. How many of you here this morning have made that exchange? Can I see your hand? If you're here this morning, Pastor, I've made that exchange. I'm redeemed this morning. If you're redeemed, will you raise your hand this morning? I'm redeemed this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's two or three that either could not or for some reason would not raise your hand. I want to give you an opportunity to change that. If you've been sitting here this morning, you've resonated with what I've preached and what I've said. You said, Pastor, that's me. I want to trade my old life for a new life. If that's you this morning, I want to pray with you. Can I ask everybody here to bow your heads, please? I just want to give you an opportunity, a chance, before we move into the communion service here in just a moment. Pastor, I'm here this morning. If this is you, Pastor, I'm here this morning, and I'm not sure that I'm redeemed. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I think I'm still living in the slave market of sin, but I believe what you preached, and I believe in Christ, and I want to give my life to him this morning. I want my life redeemed before I leave here today. Would you slip your hand up? If you're here this morning, there's a hand. Is there somebody else? There's a hand. Thank you. Somebody else this morning, you can just lift it up and put it back down. Hallelujah. I'm not sure I'm redeemed, but I'm going to be sure before I leave here today. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'm going to be sure before I leave here today. Come on, is there anybody else this morning? I don't want to leave anybody out. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. To give your life. There's another hand. Yes, thank you. Is there anybody else? There's a hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? I want to be positive. I want to be absolutely sure that I'm saved this morning, that I'm redeemed. I'm just going to wait another moment or two. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. And here's what I want you to do. If you raised your hand this morning, or if you didn't raise your hand and you still want to respond, now I'm going to ask you to do something. And I don't always do it this way, but this morning I feel like this is the way to do it. If you raised your hand and you're saying this morning, I want to trade my old life for the new life that Christ has given me, I want you this morning to get up out of your seat and step down here. You say, Pastor, you're asking a hard thing. Listen, when Christ came and stood in your place on the auction block, he did it publicly. He didn't do it with every head bowed and every eye closed. He did it publicly. And this morning, I want to invite you. Come on, don't sit there. Get up, will you? Come on. Get up real quickly. Yes, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, hallelujah. Come on. Come on, there's some more. Yes, come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come and just stand right here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, there's some more that you didn't raise your hand and you need to respond this morning. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Anybody else that you want to respond? Do it quickly, quickly this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now I need somebody to come and stand behind every one of these. Nobody should have to stand at the altar by themselves. Come on, quickly. Come. I want somebody just standing behind them, just standing behind them while I pray for them here and just and pray with them here in just a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Won't you look at me? The five of you, won't you look at me? God loves you so much. You know that, or you wouldn't be standing here. Do you know God loves you? Do you know God loves you? When you give your life to Him, you are trading all of the old stuff for the new life that He has in you. And from this moment forward, you don't have to look back. You can look forward now. That happens when the Bible says, when we trust Christ and what He did for us. He traded His life that I could have life. So this morning, I first want to lead you in a prayer, and then I want you to pray. I'm leading you in the prayer just to kind of help you through the process. But salvation happens. You are redeemed when you pray in your heart. So this morning, I want to lead you through a prayer, and then I want you to take a moment. The praise team's going to sing, and as they do, I want you to take a moment and just thank God for saving you, asking Him to come into your heart, asking Him to be in your life, right? Okay? Bow your heads and let's pray with you. I want everybody to pray this prayer, will you? I know you may have said it a bunch of times. I want you to pray it this morning so that these individuals will have the courage to say it aloud. Is that okay this morning?
Yes.
Say it with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came and died on the cross for me. That was my place, but you took it. I believe that, and I thank you for it. I give you my old life, my sins, my old ways, and I ask forgiveness for them. And I accept the new life that you give me. I ask you to come in my heart and to be my Savior. And from this day forward, I will live the new life that you have given me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Now just take a moment right there and just ask Him individually, each one of you, just individually right now in your own life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
On a hill far away.
Hallelujah. Won't you take just a moment just in your own way and just thank Him this morning for the sacrifice He made for you. Father, we thank you. And we praise you this morning that indeed, Lord, you've redeemed us. You've made us new. You've rescued us, Lord. You've made us new people, and you've released us into new life, Lord. And we thank you. We praise you for that this morning. And this morning, Lord, we rejoice in that. We celebrate it in taking communion together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Now stand to your feet. Let me say to those five that came this morning and prayed, let me say to you a couple of things. One is, it's really important that you tell somebody today what happened to you. Why is that? The Bible says we overcome by the word of our testimony, by His blood and by the blood and by the word of the testimony. It's important that you tell somebody. Maybe there's somebody that's been praying for you for a long time. Can you imagine what it'll be when they get a phone call today from you saying, I'm saved today, I gave my life to Christ. Or maybe there's somebody else that's special. Tell somebody today. The second thing that's very important that you do, that is that you connect with a Jesus-loving, Bible-preaching, God-worshiping church. If you don't have one, may I invite you to make this your church home. We would love to disciple you and to be your church family to come around you. And I encourage you to do those two things and do it quickly. Connect with a church and let somebody know what Christ did in your life. Turn to somebody and say, I'm redeemed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Until I see you again, I just pray over you. The number 6, 24, 25, and 26, the priestly blessing there. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance up upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. I love you.